So today on 10 Capital, we are going to be talking about some things that you're going to need to know for the 2025 tax season and some awesome things that could actually impact you in a good way.
So today we're going to go over three ideas for the upcoming tax season. Usually we do a lunch and learn for this, but today we're going to do a two-part series on items that can benefit you in the 2025 tax season. So, Daryl, you want to take the first one?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Three ideas, two recommendations, and a question is what we were talking about. And really the first thing here is donating appreciated non-cash assets instead of cash. All right, so let me say that again. We want you to think about donating appreciated non-cash assets instead of the cash itself. What do I mean in terms of non-cash assets? We've got publicly traded securities, restricted stock, private business interests, some real estate, those sorts of things. What's great about this is really what happens is you're looking and you're saying, hey, in my portfolio, I've got something that has got a lot of capital gains. And so, I mean, what do we want to do for our favorite not-for-profit, yep. right? And so what we would do that, we would gift them something. Yep. A lot of people instantly think, well, I've got to cash out of those positions, and then I give the nonprofit the residual cash. That's not a great strategy. Why? Because a nonprofit is not in the same taxable bracket as we are, right? And so what happens is, like, say you have $50,000 in a stock, right? And you're going to go ahead and gift that to a charity. What happens is, if you were to sell that position, yep. you would then be taxed on the gains, right? So what would that be, like 7,000?
Yeah, about that, yes.
Whatever.
Depending on your tax rate, 15 or 20%.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So say you've got long-term capital gains, yep. you're gonna be taxed on that about $7,000 and change. You're giving the nonprofit then $43,000 instead of 50. Not only that, you are only able to deduct that $43,000. So if you give them the position in kind,
all of it,
yep. right? You can deduct $50,000. They get the $50,000. They can do with it whatever they want.
They can sell it, they can keep it. Right? Yeah, exactly. It gives them the flexibility.
So that ends up being like a delta. It's a change in your tax consequence. You know, if you do the first strategy, your savings are about $3,000.
Yep,
it's great. You do the second, it's about $12,000.
It's about a huge benefit for you. So we always say, don't give cash if you don't need to.
And one caveat on this is interesting, and one of the reasons we wanted to talk about it is, a lot of people think about this towards the end of the year, right? A lot of nonprofits are doing the thing, you know, it's like, hey, end of the year, let's go ahead and give, all that sort of stuff. You don't have to wait. In fact, here we are, we're in the end of August. I've just done three of these for three different nonprofits in less than a week. It's good to be looking at what are the market conditions and then talking to us and saying, you know,
what can we do?
Yeah.
That's got it. Exactly. So, cool. The next one is tax loss harvesting. On this idea, generally that, you know, not that, you know, we're in a strong market right now overall, but not that every investment is a, you know, wins. That you have also ones that lag in on that side of things. And the good thing to do is tax loss harvest when it comes to year end. So you can see in this particular example, you know, that you have two different scenarios with capital tax loss harvesting. So the first one is you have investment, you got about $20,000 worth of gains in it, which is great. You know, the appreciation has done very well. The other investment has a $25,000 capital loss on it. The general idea is if you sell both of them, you know, you realize the capital gains of $20,000 on the first one, $25,000 on the second one. The one nice thing is you basically get to wipe out all the $20,000 of the first investment by doing this. So it's a really efficient way to rebalance your portfolio. You basically get to wipe away the taxes for that particular situation, and then you get to carry forward the $5,000 of losses. You get to use $3,000 of ordinary income this year, and then you can carry forward the other $2,000 the next year. So it's a really efficient way to go about rebalancing portfolios. You don't do it all the time, but it's something that you can strategically do to put your assets back into a position which makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some caveats there.
Yep.
We wouldn't recommend just going into a portfolio and doing this on your own because there are some things that could catch you up,
yep.
Right? Like, obviously it's not helpful in a retirement account or anything that's tax deferred, because it's tax deferred. Like, we don't need to do anything until it goes. Second thing, right, there's restrictions in terms of how you can offset those gains, long-term gains to long-term losses, short-term gains to short-term, right? So if you hold something for a year and a day, that's long-term. If you're holding it for less, then that's short-term. So you wanna make sure that you're doing apples to apples and not just assuming you're gonna do that. When you think about meme stocks and what happened not too long ago, people were trading and trading and trading, and all of a sudden the tax bill at the end of the year was insane.
Very high.
Yeah.
Yep,
exactly. And then the third thing is a wash sale.
Yeah, wash sale rules. Yeah, you don't want to just sell something and then you're going to buy it back within 30 days, because you can't. Once you sell it, you got to at least be out of the position for 30 days before you get into it. So that's why if you're selling the position, it's usually something you want to not permanently get out of, but it's something that, you know, you're not looking to reinvest in anytime soon.
Yeah, the IRS is hot to that trick. Yeah. We'll just say that.
Yep, exactly.
Cool.
So, yep.
So we've got that, tax loss harvesting.
Third one is Roth conversions.
Roth conversions.
So for Roth conversions, the general sense is you're taking stuff from your assets in your traditional IRA or 401k and converting them into Roth dollars. This can be a really efficient strategy. It's not for everybody in all situations, but there's definitely some periods in the time to do this. Generally, when you're working, having a higher income, maybe you're not doing this, but if there's a period before RMD age and you retire, that's usually 73 or 75, depending on when you were born. But there's this period where you can convert your traditional dollars into Roth dollars and really get those dollars growing tax deferred, which is great. And the other second issue is they don't have to worry about RMDs. And you know, for a lot of people that aren't pre-73 right now, we don't really understand what RMDs are the true impact on, what actually creates income during those particular years. And so getting dollars into Roth before that is a really good way to avoid those RMDs, because you've already paid the tax now, so the government doesn't care about the tax in the future. They just want to know they've already got now and it grows indefinitely.
So. Absolutely. So, and one of the really important things I think that we're seeing this as being more of an important strategy to do has to do with the Secure Act not too long ago, whereas the IRS decided that they would just be really shifty and say we're gonna leverage things to potentially get more money out of taxpayers, right?
Oh, yes.
So a lot of people, right? So pensions went away. A lot of people then started going into 401ks, 403bs, that sort of stuff, tax deferred products. What happens is now a lot of people's retirement savings portfolio is in a tax deferred product. Well, the IRS comes along and they basically said, here's the deal: if you die, or when you die, because that is a when, and you pass this on to say your kids, right? Those tax deferred dollars have to be spent, cleaned out within 10 years of purchase. Now, that's different. What's the implication? Well, the massive implication is if you do the math and you look at longevity, someone's dying and passing it on to their kids, and their kids are what? Their kids are in probably their highest tax bracket.
They're probably in their 50s or 60s. Years, like, right? it's a really area where their tax burden is also high at that time.
Exactly. So now the IRS is like, hey, you know what? You're going to pay us a lot. A good strategy is to look and say, what's the right way to mitigate that tax event? Does that happen where maybe you and your portfolio right now can actually absorb the tax event so that it doesn't go on to your kids and have that be a massive tax event for them? Which is also why planning is so important, right?
Hugely important.
Because we have to strategize that. And then we look and we're like, hey, you know what? This tax burden might feel painful for the first 5 to 10 years that you're in retirement. That being said, watch what happens when we moderate the tax events for you and then also pass that money onto your legacy, and it's a much better, you know, much more advantageous for them.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's part one for today. We'll be back in a couple of weeks for part two.
Ten Capital is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Some investment professionals may also be registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Ten Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties, express or implied, as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Ten Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC, assume no liability for any action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced in the document. Such data and other information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.